Everything is hard until it's easy. You have to do it long enough to make it easy, right? And there's always going to be easier times and hard times. But the more hard things you do, the easier it is to do the hard things, right? So, I mean, it's just not as good as syphilis to, or syphilis, what do they say?
Sibilance.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what it means. It's just a lot of syllables.
Oh, there you go. That's how you practice your radio voice.
Yeah.
Well, an areola is obviously your nipple, but areole is a name, and it's the name of the Little Mermaid. And my daughter, I got her a baby Ariel. It's like a little mini, it's like a baby doll. That's Ariel, the mermaid. And she was like, what am I going to name baby Ariel? And me and Shannon are like, I don't know. What do you want to name her? Areola. And just smiled, and we're like, okay. You don't get to say anything. You're just like, okay, that's good.
Kind of sounds like a name, though.
It does kind of sound like a name.
Yeah.
But it's a nipple.
Or like a city in Italy.
Yeah. Sicily, Italy, Areola. Areola, Italy.
They probably have good pepperoni there.
Yeah. They probably do. All right. So, enough about areolas. Today... we have a very special guest on the podcast. We have, oh, damn it. I was thinking that was a drum roll. I thought it was going to be drum roll, please.
Some sort of drum.
Yeah, we don't have a drum roll. We have Brandon. What's your middle name?
David.
I was going to say D because I think it's in your email or something.
It is, yeah.
Brandon David Clark, the first.
The first and only.
Brandon is a client of ours. He has been hanging out with me a lot, doing a lot of content creation, videography, photography, a lot of editing, a lot of hanging, a lot of just cool talks, man. We've had a lot of really deep discussions. I feel like we've grown really close as of late, which is cool. And it's going to be exciting to hear your take on that because it's very normal to me, but it's the more I think about it, now that we're on a podcast and I'm actually talking about it, it's probably kind of weird in a sense of like, you've been following my stuff for a while. You've been a client of ours who is down how much?
Over 80 pounds.
Over 80 pounds. And we're still working at it, still pushing along. He's made huge transformation. We'll link it in the podcast show notes. But if you haven't watched his testimonial on our Tailored Coaching Method Instagram, go watch it. It's phenomenal. Really, really cool testimonial talking about his journey with us, his transformation. He also edited it so you can see his work. If you want to hire a videographer or something, he's here to help. As long as you don't take too much of his time away from me, but really, really powerful journey. And but the more I thought about it, I was like, man, it's kind of an odd thing. Like you go from being a client to like hitting me up a couple times randomly of like, hey, if you ever need any extra content work, like I'm here. And then one day I'm like, hey, you want to do some extra content work? And you're like, sure, cool. Let's get on the phone like tomorrow. We jumped on the phone, had a great conversation. And next thing you know, you're basically here kicking it with me every week. We're texting every day. Like saying somewhat inappropriate, offensive things that we can't say on the podcast, joking together, but also sending each other really good, productive stuff, sending each other proverbs and Bible verses, sharing wisdom, just like a lot of really cool stuff, right? And it's been really fun. But dude, like, what has that been like for you, I guess? Because there's a lot of clients that listen to this. There's a lot of obviously just the audience who gets educated by us, but.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that every now and then I find myself kind of sitting down and writing something really philosophical. And yesterday I wrote, and I just went totally blank. It's funny how many times I've been in this podcast room and haven't thought of it really as something special. And now it feels a little bit intimidating.
It's the way Shannon redecorated the room.
Yeah.
I will say it is better set up though.
It is. It actually feels more open in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was writing something kind of philosophical and kind of was about how when I look back at the last few years, so I've always kind of struggled with weight, but post COVID was when it got real.
Yeah.
And I suffered from severe sleep apnea and stopped breathing for over 4 minutes at one point in my sleep study. So I don't even know what that meant the rest of the time when I wasn't in a sleep study.
How long can you go without breathing before you die?
I
didn't think you'd go 4 minutes.
I don't, I mean, I'm sure those like deep sea divers can go a while, but I think that isn't the average person like start to get near brain damage after about 5 minutes?
I would assume so.
But basically my doctor told me, he's like, yeah, you're gonna die in your sleep if we don't get this taken care of right away. And so at that time in my life, I also was struggling to just go through a normal day. Like my parents live about 45 minutes away from me, and I wouldn't even visit them because I couldn't spend that much time behind the wheel without starting to doze off, because my body just wasn't recovering from this lack of oxygen when I was trying to sleep. And so I took all these different sleep supplements and sleep aids and tried all this stuff, let alone it's just like get a CPAP machine and that'll save your life.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to kind of think about like how, I don't even know if I knew how miserable I was until I came out of that. And so like now I just kind of laugh because I have all this energy in the world. I also have had multiple knee surgeries and ACL reconstructions. Some of my knees kind of garbage as well, but like I'm running on the treadmill daily now. And my goal in the next couple of months is to like be able to run a full 5K in one, I don't know, one allotment of time or whatever, one session. Without stopping or without pausing or catching my breath. And it's funny because I work with Coach Brandon and he hasn't even told me like, hey, you need to run. He's like, yeah, dude, you know, put the incline real steep and we got to do that a couple days a week. But like, I'm just trying to push myself in unique ways now. And like the running doesn't hurt. I got myself some really good shoes. And I was thinking about like, that was 2 years ago about, and I started working with you guys about a little over a year ago. And in that time, like the one thing I'll say too, is that I don't think a lot of people understand the resources that they have available to them to be able to transform their life. So I left my job for a period of about 4 months. I took a family medical leave of absence. And that's what really kind of ignited this whole journey for me. I would say career-wise, I would say fitness-wise and everything, because my MO to that was I think the reason a lot of people don't push themselves as hard as they can is because there is the fatigue of daily life. And I think that's what I draw a lot of inspiration from you, is how much work you do every single day and then how much work you put into training and to going on stage and just watching this from behind the lens is also inspiring. Cause when I, you know, see that you're eating 1700 calories and I'm at 1900 and I'm bitching about not being able to eat enough carbs and you can't even look at a sweet potato, you know, like I'm like, okay, I'm kind of being, you know, whatever. But the point is that I have this ability to push myself really hard in the gym and then go home and go, okay, I'm exhausted. I'm going to take a nap. And because I'm at home, I'm going to start cooking more. And I'm going to start being methodical about how I do this. And then as my leave of absence slowly started to come to an end, I was like, all right, let's start incorporating daily life routines back into this. Like, what does it look like to meal prep as if I'm going to take it to work? How do we stay active throughout the day so I'm not just falling back asleep and taking a nap? But I think a lot of, like, at least in the state of Washington, I know that you're granted a medical leave of absence every calendar year, X amount of time you've worked for a company. And I would encourage people to look into benefits like that. And I think the irony is that my place of employment at the time actually kind of pushed me to go do this, because they could see it more than I could see it for myself.
Yeah.
And
do you think that's subconscious though? Like you didn't want to see it? I mean, because one would argue, and I feel confident and comfortable saying this to you because I know you so well now. And part of, and I want to paint the picture for people. So you're down 80 pounds. Do you mind sharing about where you're at right now?
Yeah, I'm about 275, 278-ish. Okay. Yeah.
So he still has weight to lose, you know, like we're still on this journey. And the only reason I say that is because, one, I want you to feel comfortable saying whatever the fuck you want on this podcast. And two, some of the things you say, I love hearing it because it's something that I've thought, but I don't say because I don't feel like I have I don't have legs to stand on when I like I was overweight, but I wasn't obese. And I also am not right now. So it's ignorant for me to be like, well, you need to do this, like, or this, that's your fault. Take control. Like, it's not that simple, obviously. But the way you frame it is really, you do take ownership for a lot. And that's what I feel like empowers you to keep improving versus playing the blame game or pointing the finger when it's like, you're like, I put myself in this position, I'm going to take myself out of it. I'm also not going to ignore the fact that it's difficult and there's a lot more to it than just saying, oh, eat less food and you'll lose weight. Like, there's a lot of psychological, there's a lot of things, right? But back to my question, do you feel like some of that was more subconscious in the sense of like, you kind of shield it because that's a hard reality, like a hard pill to swallow and something to face. And then it, once you face it, then you have the realization of like, now I have to change it. Well, changing it is even harder because you got to start going to the gym. You got to change your schedule. You got to take a medical leave of absence so that you can focus on these things. You got to get a CPAP machine. You got to change your diet. Like, there's a lot, right? So sometimes I feel like people put up a wall. Like, do you feel like that's, you were forced into it because you were putting up a wall?
I don't really know the answer to that. I've been such a fat pendulum for a long time. And what I mean by that is like, I've gained a lot of weight. I've lost a lot of weight. I've been routinely in the mindset of an athlete since at least probably 2008, like hardcore, going to boot camp, CrossFit, like eating paleo, keto. I've done it all. Like, yeah. If literally I'll open this up, but if anybody wants to drop Cody a question for me to answer, more than happy to answer it for you.
Yeah.
Because I even had a friend that reached out to me recently, and this is kind of diverting from your question, but she was like, hey, I'm going to do keto. Like, do you have any good recipes? Cause she knew I did it at one point. And I was like, no, I don't eat keto. And actually I eat a lot of carbs now, big rice and sweet potato fan. But, like the carb thing as sidestepping again, but we'll get back to that, mm-hmm. is like, it was a mind fuck for me. And I had to sit down with Brandon and be like, I need you to help me understand this carb thing, because the media and social media and all this stuff and everything you hear from doctors and go Mediterranean, eat more fat, blah, 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 right? It gets in your head and then you get so spun out of control that you can't even focus on the basics. And I guess that's how I'd probably answer your question, is I got so spun out, I didn't even know where to begin.
Mm.
And so instead of like taking that first step, I just kind of threw up my hands and I was like, well, this is kind of what it is now. But I knew I wanted to change something. And I got to this point, and the ownership thing is a really important attribute that I'm really proud of. Like, one day I'll write a book and the title's already there. It's If It's To Be, It's Up To Me. And
I love that, dude.
Yeah. And I think that's just where we're at society wise, where like everybody wants to play the blame game and blame everybody else for their problems, but no one wants to sit with it and take ownership of it. And once you take ownership of it, as scary as it is, it's a very liberating feeling at the same time.
Yeah.
And so my first thing is, ironically, I was trying to reach out to one of your former mentors. And a friend of mine was like, oh no, go see my buddy Cody, who used to get mentored by this guy. And I was like, okay, I'll go on the TCM webpage. And I filled out the information. And just like that, I got a phone call with Brandon. And I was like, all right, well, here's this random ass stranger from the other side of the world, mm-hmm. who I'm like sharing my life story with all of a sudden. And there was just like this weird thing where, like, I've also been down the road of like having different coaches and personal trainers and dietitians and nutritionists and you know, doctors prescribing me people to even work with in a way. And there was something about Brandon and I can't even explain it, but he was like, yeah, we, you know, kind of asked for a 3-month commitment. And I was like, all right, well, if I can't commit to 3 months, I can't commit to myself at all. And I was like, what's the worst case scenario? And actually, this is a random conversation too. So Coach Haley and I were messaging back and forth on Instagram the other day, because she put
Hallie.
Out. I said that wrong, huh?
You said Haley. It happens.
Hallie. Okay, my bad.
No, it's all good.
But
I did that for her.
But she put out a post about something about like, yeah, eating clean is expensive, you know, can be expensive. Hiring a trainer can be expensive on all these things. And I just simply messaged back really quick. I said, the irony to this from personal experience is that if you don't do those, it's five times as expensive.
Mm-hmm. Dude, break that down in detail though. Like, what expenses are you talking about? Medical, doctor, sleep apnea, insurance, flights. You've talked to me about so many different things. Like, and one of the things, and you don't have to break it down because I'm not going to give you math. I mean, that's really what it is. There's so many things that you end up having to pay for literally financially to accommodate for being unhealthy or overweight, but also emotionally as well, right? And this could be the cost of missing out on certain things, the cost of not living a long life, all kinds of stuff. But the other thing I really appreciate about this idea and the way you go about it and like the whole, like the irony of is similar to that video you sent me, right? The one you posted in your story that I asked you to send me that I'm gonna do something with.
Yeah.
But like you're walking and I'm assuming you sent that to Brandon, your coach as well. Cause it sounded like you were kind of talking.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. So I was walking my dog and like through, like to give some context to the backstory here is, I do a lot of filming and photography and some consulting work and we're working together to create your content. And I'm kind of watching it from a 30,000 foot view and going, okay, like I need to post more on my own social to grow my own brand as well. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the post about how like your story, and I think this was from Rico Incarnati, who was mentioning about how your feed is your brand, but your story is your vlog or your journal, yeah, basically. And so I've been trying to post more about like my daily life and like what that looks like. And so I was just on a walk with my dog posting some random stuff. And it was a really sunny day. And I was just watching my hooded sweatshirt just kind of swivel around me in the shadow. And I was like, okay, I remember when this particular sweatshirt I was wearing was like tight. And it was snug and I was walking and it was just kind of swiveling and I was like, oh, this is really cool. I'm going to send this to my coach. So I took a video and I was like, hey, Brandon, like check this out. Like I can't get enough of this swiveling back and forth. And I like started rocking my hips side to side. And it was just like those little small wins. They just kind of make me giddy throughout the day. And it's so funny because there's so much of my life in so many aspects that like, I wish someone could be inside my brain. And this is going to sound so stupid, but like, it's even like this. When I come to a traffic stop with a bunch of traffic lights and I'm the first car in line, like there's a little bit of race car driver mentality in me, but I don't watch the light to just go from red to green of the light in front of me.
You watch the other light to go from green to yellow.
Yeah, I watch the other light go from red to yellow or from green to yellow to red.
I do that too.
Or like I pay attention to the cars turning left and I'm looking at all these things to figure out like what's my next move. Mm-hmm. And so I look at my life this way too, where like I'm really self-aware, but I'm also very aware of what's going on around me, even though like a lot of times when I enter a new environment, I just kind of have this blank stare and I look like a deer in the headlights, but that's because I'm taking in so much information. It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But like that little notice of that sweatshirt swiveling, I was just like, man, that's so cool. And it's funny too, because another small win for me even this morning is, like I mentioned, I've been trying to run. And so I was just, the way I approach my workouts usually is I usually walk anywhere between a quarter mile and a half mile on the treadmill. And then I go about my lift and then I'll do some low intensity, steady state cardio at the end. And my personal goal is I never leave the gym until I have over 5,000 steps. And that's just, it's a non-negotiable for me. And, I was on the treadmill and I kept bumping up the speed and I'm walking and bumping up the speed. I'm like, holy crap. I'm walking at 3 miles an hour right now and it feels like nothing. I remember when 2.2 miles an hour felt like I was in a full sprint. And now like when my heart rate elevates up to like mid 130s, it feels pretty normal to me. Yeah. It doesn't start hurting until I get to like the 150s.
Yeah, I love that.
And so it's, all these things are just like, they're little motivating factors and for me, like my day's best started by getting out of bed and going to the gym early, because there's so many wins within the gym that if I'm like, if I can win here, I can win at life. Mm-hmm. And if I can get out of bed when it's dark and cold, especially here in the Northwest, because it's almost like we get 6 minutes of daylight.
Literally.
If I can do this and I can win at this, then I can win the day.
Yeah. Bring the mic a little bit closer to you. Okay. The thing that I want to point out that I think is so important for everybody listening right now is that there's a couple things, but I've said this plenty of times and you just displayed it so well. Awareness precedes change. And what that means is before you can create change, you have to become aware, which is part of the reason why I'm such an advocate of tracking data in biofeedback. And like we just did that vlog and it was like an exhaustive list, right? 3 times a week, I track blood pressure and blood glucose. I track my sleep every night. I track my macros every day, my weight every day. I track my mood, my energy, my digestion. I track my performance in the gym, like everything, like quite a bit. And then I look at my gratitude. I look at like little wins like that, like just everything, right? Because I want to be able to look back at the week and see that I'm progressing. And if I'm not progressing, I want to know why. There's nothing worse than getting to the end of a week or the end of a month or the end of a quarter or shit, it's coming up, the end of a year, and going, all right, what did I get done this year? What did I accomplish? Damn, not much, right? I don't have anything to show for. And if you're not becoming aware of that along the way, you're going to get to the end of the year and be like, I don't got anything to show for, right? And you're so hyper aware, like to notice that your shirt is loose. And more importantly, to recognize it and then like actually talk about it and share it and show your coach, somebody who cares and appreciates and respects it and wants to hear it, that allows you to like give some validity to it too. Some people will notice something cool and then they just keep going about their day. But if you can sit and like really, you know, smell the roses, it like really settles in. And that's a small win, but it's huge, man. It's like your sweatshirt's looser, right? I remember you talking to me before about when you could more easily sit on an airplane. And it was like, this is way better. And you remember that. And it's like, I'm never going to get pissed at the airplane or the flights or the airlines, cause I did this to myself. Like it's uncomfortable for me from what I did, which I was like, dude, I got so much respect for you just for that simple fact, you know, but you become aware and you go, okay, I need to change this. Right. And I think to me, and again, why I do all the biofeedback is like, okay, what am I doing right now? Well, I'm trying to increase health before I go into a lean gaining phase. Okay. What do I need to track to make sure I'm super healthy? I got blood work done. My thyroid's low. I have some vitamins and minerals are low. My zinc is low. My cortisol's high. I know what's wrong based on my blood work. I can't deny it. I'm aware now. What do I do to fix it? If I didn't get the blood work done, I would have been like, I think I'm fine. Look, let's just go about my shit. And then I'd continue to be unhealthy, right? So the awareness piece is so unbelievably important. And then next, it's actually doing something about it. You know, like you actually do shit about what you become aware of. You become aware of something, you're like, I don't like that. I'm going to do something about it. And you take action on it. And a lot of people don't do that, but you consistently do that, man. I commend you for it because it's obviously really cool to see. And I think something I'm going to keep tooting your horn, but I'm like, and I do this a lot too. And I think that's why it's why we have good conversations, why we get along really well. And not the only reason, but I really enjoy this about you too, is you're a very introspective person. So am I. And so when you have that feeling or when you notice that thing or you hear me say something or you're journaling or whatever, you'll text me and you're like, hey, I was just reflecting and I was thinking of this thing, and you'll like explain it to me. Or you're like, hey, I just read this and it made me think of when you said this thing, and I think you're really good about this. And it's so random, but that deep thinking, I think it's to me at least, I feel like it's a mandatory aspect of growth. Like personal growth doesn't happen if you can't be introspective like that. Right? Like I get to the end of my day and I think about, so a good example of this, actually, I remember standing in the kitchen, and this involves you. I remember standing in the kitchen. You weren't in my kitchen. Shannon was. And I remember reading your texts, and we had done some video and we were a little rushed because obviously I ended up at the gym kind of late that day. It was the day before my physique show and I really wanted pictures. I mean, I just dieted for a long time. It's like, let's get some pictures, which obviously I still got pictures from the guy that does them at stage. We got video. But I was like, we rushed through them because we didn't have much time. So I didn't look at any of them and they didn't turn out because of lighting and there was some stuff going on, but we didn't know at the time. And I remember you texted me and you said they didn't turn out. Right? Obviously, when I first saw, I'm pretty bummed out. And I remember looking at the phone and you could tell I was kind of annoyed and pissed. I'm like, fuck, I wanted those pictures, you know? And I remember Shannon looking at me like, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And then I like sat there and texted. She was like, what's going on? And then I told her. She was like, oh shit. And she knows that like you just started doing content with me. Yeah. And so she's like, what'd you say? It's like, I told him it's not a big deal. She's like, oh. I was like, because I just stopped and really thought like, damn, if I just started doing content with a guy and for lack of better terms, fucked up the pictures that he really wanted and it's too late to redo them because the show's over, the diet's over. It's, you know, like I'd be pretty bummed out. Honestly, I'd probably be more bummed out than I am right now. I don't want him to think that that impression changes how I feel about him. I don't want him to think that impression changes the work I want to do in the future. I don't want him to feel bad about it because if I'm going to keep working with him, I want him to be motivated to do better and grow. And me like rubbing his nose in the dirt doesn't do anything at all. That doesn't help him grow or be empowered. So I'm just going to tell him it's no big deal. The videos turn out good. We just got to keep moving forward. Don't waste your time on him. Let's go. It's just forward. It's progress. We go. But if I wasn't able to be introspective and think like, okay, let me step aside, go into his shoes and think about the scenario. It's totally, you know what I mean? It changes it. And you know, for parents listening, do this with your kid. Like Shannon sent me this thing that like blew my mind pretty recently. And it literally, I like literally changed. I won't say entirely because that would be wrong. Like I'm trying really hard, but because of this one post and it was like, basically remember that a five, like, and it was a 5-year old on the post, which is my daughter's five. Remember that a 5-year old isn't as emotionally intelligent as you are. And it like the caption was like so compelling. It's like, if you are emotionally distraught, if you are worked up, if you want something to be done, or if you want them to have manners, if you want them to explain themselves or anything like that, they may not understand literally because they're five. And so you think about this situation as you get mad at a little kid and you really think about like, you literally don't know. And then I think about my dog and I'm like, you literally can't speak my language and I'm pissed at you. You know, it's like, I'm sorry, buddy. Like, you don't know what I want. Like, and so it's very hard to push your frustration aside, but like, if you can like really think about that, you can totally step aside and then allow yourself to essentially meet them at their level and change, you know, how you're operating and acting. But yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just like that introspection. I think it's just so important, man. And this is part of the reason why you guys should journal. You should be thinking about these things. It creates mental space. I was just talking to a mentor client of mine. Actually, I was talking about this exact thing. I was like, take notes, whether it's mental or like at the end of the day in your journal, take notes about the things that happen in your day, whether it's something somebody does that triggers you, it's something that you do that annoys you, it's something that like every little from wins, like for me, if I get in my truck and I see that the garbage can's at the end of the driveway and the garbage man already came and I sit there for a little bit and I'm like, I don't got time. I don't want to do it. It's fucking cold. I'll do it when I get home. But then Shannon's going to see it. And then I might be the only guy in the cul-de-sac with a garbage can at the end. Like I go through that process and I'm like, if I can, I should, and I go do it. And that's taking ownership, right? But then at the same time, if you do something that triggers me, I need to stop after the situation's done and think about, why did that upset me? Why did that trigger me? You know, because if you don't do that, you're going to continue to get triggered by people and things. And in today's world, that is the biggest problem. Everybody's pissed about everything all the fucking time. And it drives me nuts. Calm down, worry about you. And if something triggers you, stop and pull back and go, why does this trigger me? Because if it triggers me, then that controls me. That emotion has controlled me. And that's the craziest part to me about when people get so worked up about politics or religion or all this stuff going, the news. And look, all this stuff's important. You should definitely have, everybody should have their own thoughts, feelings, involvement, whatever. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Everybody should be able to debate too. But I always feel like, if you're doing something that I can't stop emotionally thinking about and being triggered on, the thing you're doing is controlling me. Literally, it's controlling my brain, my energy. You're not even thinking about me. You're doing your own thing carelessly, right? Anyway, I'm going down a rabbit hole, but I really respect the fact that you do that a lot. And I believe that's a big part of your success with your fat loss journey. I think that's why it's going to continue helping you be successful. My big hope for it too is like you jump on this podcast. Let's just say every once in a while, why not? Because you're here, you know, and that's why we're doing this one. Yesterday, I texted him like, you want to jump on the podcast? Let's do it. And then the vlog, you're popping in a little bit, talking to the camera. I hope that just pushes you to lose more weight faster and it gives you accountability. And now you're showing up. Now everybody listening knows that you're on your journey. We got to get you that dirt bike, man. Like I want it to be a thing. And I think that it's also why you're successful with what we're doing here. And it's why I was like, yeah, dude, come aboard. Yeah, do more. like, hey, you should go reach out to these other people and do work for them. And then you did. And then you're like shooting motocross stuff and you're shooting goggle stuff. It's like, it's growing because you take action. You think deeply. You put yourself in those situations kind of without care. I mean, you're probably nervous in some of the situations, but you do it anyway.
What was the thing I said to you the first time we were on the phone? I just said, I said, this is kind of weird for me, but can I give you my opinion of you? Mm-hmm. And you were like, okay. And I was like, you're intimidating as fuck, but you're very, very empathetic. And then after we had that conversation, and there's days I'm still intimidated. I mean, I sent you a text message, I think yesterday, wasn't it? Where I challenged you on something and yeah. I got all nervous about it.
Yeah.
And then
you sent me another one.
And then I said, hey, thanks for helping me grow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I agreed with you. And yeah. That's me being introspective. I listened to your feedback and why you thought we should do the opposite of what I was saying. And I was like, I think he's right. That's a good idea. Like, yeah, let's do it.
But it definitely comes out of a place of respect though, too, where it's like, okay, I see this guy, I see what he's doing. And you're very successful and you're very methodical about that success as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's definitely molded me not only in my physical ability and my transformation, but it's also helped my career and helped me as a business owner myself and seeking out new opportunities. Like I just became a partner in another business this past week as well, which is pretty cool. And it's like all these things, like it's really funny because I was talking to a buddy of mine last night who's shooting arena cross in Boise this weekend. And I met him at Supercross this past fall. And I don't know if this has anything to do with anything in the world, but I'm also going to go get my first tattoo in a couple of weeks because I've realized that everybody that is in my corner right now that is like sharpening me to be the most epic sword ever are just covered in tattoos. But I'd made this comment to him and I was like, if you want to see where you're going in life, just look around to see who's on your bus. And he goes, bro, I'm going to stop you. He goes, I've heard that, kind of makes sense. But if you really want to go somewhere in life, get off the bus.
Mm.
Go forge your own path. And he's like, this is all I want you to do in life. Is he goes, I just want you to ask in every situation, what's the problem and how can I fix it?
It's good. That's the answer to every piece of content we try to create, every coaching conversation we try to have. I think that I got to meet that guy because I love that. But I think I'm interested in the whole intimidated and empathy thing as well, because I think I don't find myself intimidating at all. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought you said intense. Maybe you did say intimidating, but maybe you explained it to me.
I was like, I'm not intimidating. I might have said you're intense. I'm respectfully intimidated at times, but I would say this. So obviously when I look at you, like not to get super weird, but I kind of want to get a little weird. When I look at you, you look like a little chiseled marble figure outside of a Greek like theater or something. That's okay.
The best compliment I've ever had.
And when I look at myself, even more so my previous self, I looked like one of those little things that you fill with water that you can't hang on to. No, you know?
Bro, you're a marble block. You're just chipping away.
I know that now, but when I think like, coming from my body type or yeah. like the space that I'm in, I think a lot of people, I don't know if it's a rarity to have the kind of confidence that I have at times with who I am, but it's definitely something that I've put a lot of work in to be that confident.
What kind of work did you put in? What do you think of the, because I have a lot to say on that too. What are the top like things that you think have helped you? And I hope one of them is the same thing that I'm going to say.
I just kind of froze to even answer that. But I would say like, okay, there's definitely two mantras that I live by right now. And one of them is, and maybe this is where you're going, is do the hard thing. Hmm. The second one comes from my friend, Nick Rowley, whose daughter is this cute little snowboard gal that rides around in tutus. And he always tells her, he's like, hey, if you're scared, just do it scared. And so that's another mantra of mine. If you're scared, just do it scared.
I love that.
Because if you're like, why do we, for us that like roller coasters, why do we like roller coasters? We like, because as you're going up, it's going click, 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 click. It's scary. And when you hit that drop, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And then we get beyond that and we're like, oh, this is the greatest thing on earth.
Yeah.
And we go get back in line again.
It's okay to be scared.
And we get on it again and we go click, click. And we're like, oh my God, it's going to be scary again. Yeah. And eventually you can numb yourself if you probably go on that roller coaster after a while, because you're like, okay, I'm used to it. But I guess that's like the same thing as like, my life is lived one uphill of a roller coaster of the click, 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 click at a time, to where the more often I take that plunge, the less fear I, the less fear I have in doing it. And the more that it just becomes normal and routine. And I think like, I think where I'm at now and like how I ended up in this situation. So long story short about another venture, because you've been pushing me to like grow my own business as well, is I started doing some consulting work for this company. And then they were like, hey, we need to maybe potentially do some more fundraising. Do you feel comfortable cold calling to try to help us get some sponsorship? I'm like, I've never really done it. And the guy goes, but you're a personable person. Like, I think you can do it. And I just went, oh, that's a new skill set. I don't know if I can do this, but let's just see if I can do this. Picked up the phone, stumbled my way through a couple conversations, went, I don't know if this is for me, but I'm gonna land one of these before I give up. I'm gonna do something. And eventually one of these other supercross riders hit me up and said, hey, my agent walked and I need some help. I heard you're doing something similar for someone else. Can you help me get some sponsorships? Cause supercross season's coming up right away. And I was just like, yep, I can do it. I'm shaking my head no right now for those that can't see me.
Yeah.
But I was like, yep, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not shooting content. It's not being behind the camera, but it's another skill set that I can put in my arsenal. It's also doing the hard thing. Mm-hmm. It's also doing it scared. And it's also finding the problem and fixing it.
Yeah. So good.
And this will all transform into eventually more of this type of stuff that I like to do and good at,
yeah.
But it's all encompassing.
If you pick apart success in any area too, right? Weight loss. You're not going to accomplish weight loss unless you do the hard thing, which, just so everybody knows, becomes easy at some point. Everything is hard until it's easy. You have to do it long enough to make it easy, right? And there's always going to be easier times and hard times, but the more hard things you do, the easier it is to do the hard things, right? Like, I'm not going to say my prep was easy. You know, I've been doing this a while, so it should be easy now, right? No, it's still hard, but it's easier for me to accept that hard. It's easier for me to go through with that hard. It's easier for me to understand the purpose of that hard and the benefits that I get outside of getting ripped from doing that hard thing. And doing hard things leads to an easier life. Doing easy things always leads to a hard life. Because if you just spend your time focusing on easy things, going the easy route, doing the easy path, you are going to end up having a lot of hardship that you can't handle because you did not get tough enough. You didn't develop any grit, any discipline, any willpower. So you have to do the hard thing, no matter what it is. The other fact is that success requires work, no matter what we're talking about, right? All of these things also require not being risk averse. So you have to be able to take risks, and you have to have that, let's call it either a worst case mentality or a figure it out mentality. But basically, like, what's the worst that could happen? It's not that bad. Okay, let's do it. I'll figure it out. Worst case, I fail. Worst case, I don't do that well. Worst case, you replace me for it. Nothing bad's gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the type of person that always says, like, in my mind, I go, like, literally, I'll just be like, am I gonna die? No. Okay. Well, let's do it. You know, if me and Shannon are in an argument, I'm like, are we gonna get a divorce over this? What? No. Okay. So let's just take a minute. This is dumb. Probably my fault. Let's be honest. I'll come back to it. And it just like minimizes it. Sometimes it doesn't work, guys, because they'll be like, it's a big deal to me. And then you're like shooting yourself in the foot. But my point is that most of the time in my mind, at least, that's how I can stop being an egotistical dick and screaming and trying to win the battle in that kind of situation. It's like, am I going to divorce my wife for this? No, it's not that big of a deal. Okay, then calm down, Cody. What are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, but the point is if you can have that mentality, it allows you to remove the emotional and logical. None of these things were what I was going to say, to be honest with you. Okay. But the thing I was going to say, you do. And so that's why I was thinking we're say it. It's surrounding yourself with the right people in the right places in the right environments in the right situations. So the people, the places, and making sure that you're putting yourself into those scenarios and environments that force growth upon you, right? So you're going to the motocross events. You're talking to these people. You're saying yes to situations that you got to figure shit out with. You're DMing Cody McBroom to see, shoot my shot, who cares? Something comes out of it. You know, it's like... What is the Michael Jordan saying? I'm not a basketball fan, but like you miss every, or
you miss 1,000 shots you don't take.
Exactly. Right. So like every time you don't take the shot, you're still not going to get it. So you might as well take the shot. So to me, that's one of the most important things for you, man. I mean, like I even think about like my past and it's like, I was the least likely candidate to do what I do today. And I wouldn't say the least likely candidate in my, like I had a really small graduating class. Like I went to a small school. So you basically knew everybody. I definitely wasn't the least likely candidate in the whole class to be successful, but I definitely wasn't on anybody's radar, you know? And I've talked to plenty of teachers from back in the day that are in shock and they love me now because of it. You know, I've turned my life around. I was a straight D F student. I didn't really play much. I played soccer, went to community college. I literally am covered in tattoos, got in plenty of trouble growing up. Made a lot of bad choices, was never in shape, never lifted a weight till I was 18. All the things that you would list out and go, well, I'm a piece of shit and I'm not going to really amount to nothing. And most of the teachers tell me the same thing. So what do I do now? Right. And I just didn't take no for an answer. Maybe that's another fact of this, right? You just don't take no for an answer, but I started pursuing something and then I forced myself into situations. I forced myself into an internship. I forced myself at seminars and to talk to the speakers. And then I got literally would get credit cards to afford going to places to learn and meet people and network and buy books and all these things. Like I just did. I never took out loans. I never had a handout. I didn't do it. I just kept putting myself in risky situations to make the most out of it and surround myself with people who were better than me, smarter than me, took more risks than me, and knew a lot more on how to push themselves than I did. And so I could emulate what they were doing, you know? And now I see myself as one of the people, at least in this environment, you know, because there's, I mean, we live in a random corner of Washington, right? Like at least in this environment and for my family, for you, when you show up, for my team, for my clients, I look at myself like now I have that responsibility. It's my job to be that person that people surround themselves with that helps them level up. Now, don't get me wrong. I still travel to events and workshops and stuff like that because I need that too. I still have mentors and coaches. Like I need that too. But I understand that I have a responsibility now. So like every time you walk in the door, I'm like, okay, like it doesn't matter. Like you'll never hear me bitch about what I got going on outside of these walls. Cause I'm like, whatever I got going on doesn't matter because Brandon's here and I have to make sure that he leaves better than when he came in here and he got value out of what we're doing. And the people we're filming for and the people we're recording for, they're getting value because of what we're doing in these walls. And it's my job to set the tone. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that to me is huge. And I pride myself in being like, okay, now I'm going to be that environment. But you've put yourself in those environments repetitively. You know what I mean? And that's like, that's huge.
Yeah. It's funny. There's a random byproduct to all this that I haven't been the most open about, but the conversations I've had to navigate life right now, to whether it's through my career or whether it's in the gym or whatever, everything's kind of been so difficult. And I've always been a little bit guarded around my parents. Like I haven't, like my family's not traditionally a very open family as far as we don't talk a lot about what we got going on in our lives. We don't share a lot. Or maybe they do, and I've just kind of felt like the random outcast in a way. And it's funny because whenever I sit down with my parents or I have a conversation, we dive deep now, and it's like the easiest conversation I have of the week because everything else is so difficult. And it's been such a cool byproduct of like getting to know my family more and being more open about what's going on in my life. And it is funny because I stopped by my parents' house on the way out here today, and I was like, my mom's like, ah, what do you got going on? Like, you're going to California in a couple of weeks, and you're going again in, you know, the beginning of next month. And I was like, yeah, you know, Supercross season's coming. Like, sorry, I got to dump my dog on you while I'm gone, but thank you. And then I offered to take him to the airport at like 4 a.m. when they go because of how gracious they've been on this journey. But my mom's like, okay, so what do you do again? And I try to explain it, and then I kind of get a little frustrated and flustered, and I finally just go, Mom, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I have so much going on and so many like different endeavors that I honestly don't expect you to understand what it is I actually do. I just want you to know that I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm in a better spot than I've ever been in my life. You don't need to worry. And it's funny because I parted ways with my quote unquote full-time job not too long ago. And she's like, well, what about your insurance? What about this? What about that? And the funniest thing was you can call it God or whatever people are into. I believe in God, but I was talking to the other gentleman that I was doing consulting with. And I was like, it was funny because we were having a conversation, and I was like, hey, I got in this call because I got to go to work. And I go to work, and then I get let go. And 5 minutes, like, so the timeline is like, I called him, I drove my 30-minute commute to work, got let go. I texted him, I'm like, well, that was a short day. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, remember how I told you I was planning on leaving my job in January? I was like, I guess I'm done now. And he's like, cool, great. And then I came here to edit because I was like, well, I now have for free days, so I might as well go to the office and do stuff for Cody. And the other gentleman was like, yeah, so like, you know, what are you like? Are you worried? Are you stressed? I'm like, no, there's like a huge weight. I was like, the only reason I was really trying to hang on was because I was trying to get the most out of my medical benefits before I left. Because I knew I would be taking this next step in my own personal life to build my own business and continue on. And I was like, from a strategy standpoint, I was like, yeah, I just kind of wanted to get the most out of I could out of my benefits because of everything that everybody now knows I've got going on in my life.
Yeah.
And he goes, I tell you what, if you can't find business, you just let me know where I send the check to because it's a write-off for me. And I'm more than happy to do that for you. And I went, cool. I'm going to try to make sure that you don't have to do that, but it's nice to know that you're in my corner there.
Yeah.
And it's just weird how like things work out. And as this whole new transition of my life, there's a lot that I think a lot of people would be typically stressed on, like venturing out on your own. Like, what do you do with all the debt you've racked up chasing this path already and all these things. And for the first time in my life, like, yeah, that stuff matters, but it doesn't keep me up at night because I go, I know that there's always a way out of everything because again, if it's to be, it's up to me.
Yep.
And I'm going to take ownership and responsibility for every step of the way. And it's like going back to the airplane thing. I remember seeing an individual like bitching about how the airlines don't have these big enough seats. And I don't want to get a bunch of people upset, but at the same time, it's like the airline company is not really there to cater to you. You're there to use the service as a convenience to get from here to there.
Yeah.
If you require X amount of space, then fork over the cash for the first class ticket.
Yeah.
Or the bigger seat or buy the whole row. I don't know. That's one way you can take ownership. Another way you can take ownership is get in much better shape because it saddens me in a way that the world is beginning to cater towards
mediocrity.
Mediocrity.
Laziness, convenience.
And it's and to be totally transparent, that's how I ended up at my worst was convenience. I, coming out of COVID, the stimulus checks, the unemployment, pay bumps, all that stuff, I got an addiction to DoorDash. And I had no community during COVID because my life revolves around action sports and being outside, being in community. But when everything shut down, I was like, oh man, I have more money than I've ever had. There's really good restaurants. I'd get on the app. I'd start finding places I'd never been. And then once you get in the app, there's this other whole mental cycle of like, well, why wouldn't I order two dishes? Because if I order two dishes, I save half on this order, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, it's funny because now that we're tracking everything, I went back and I was like, I'm going to track what I used to eat as I was gaining all that weight. And I was putting somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 calories down a day. So to give context to before, I was up at 360 pounds at my biggest. And pre-COVID, I always kind of sat somewhere between 255 and 265. And so it's me looking at that situation and going, if there's anybody that's going to get them out, like, here's also what I can say too, is that through my entire life of being overweight and kind of being this fat pendulum, yeah, you get the outside judgmental. I get my mom saying like, hey, you're big, you need to go on a diet, or hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And my dad's also overweight too. And my mom sort of harasses him. And I feel saddened that my dad's, you know, a diabetic and like struggling with all this stuff. And I finally had to pull my mom aside and go, look, we can say everything we want to him, but he's got to make the decision whether he wants this for him. Mm-hmm. And unless he wants it for him and he's just going to continue kind of doing what he's doing, you can be saddened by it for sure, but you can't be angry about it, because all it's going to do is rob you from your joy as well. And you need to focus on what you can control.
Yeah. So true, man. This is powerful. This is we were supposed to do an update in a Q&A podcast, but this was much better. And we're going to do this again. We do have to start filming and training. So we're going to wrap up with a couple questions. And first question, real quick and easy, what is your Instagram so people can follow you? Just in case there's people out there that do need some videography work or photography work.
My Instagram is @Clark_Brandon. So Clark_Brandon.
We'll put that in the show notes so you guys can go give him a follow. And then two quick questions. We'll just do it like I'm going to put a timer on you because this keeps you like really thinking like precisely. In a minute or less, first question, how has, shameless plug, Taylor Coaching Method and Brandon Whitehead, who you work with, how has that experience shaped you? Not literally, because obviously you've lost a bunch of weight, but like outside of the gym, like what is the biggest, like if you could just give us one powerful thing of like, this is like the most noteworthy thing that's changed in my life.
My confidence.
Love it. And it applies to everything, 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 everything. Second question, in a minute or less, what is the biggest takeaway or powerful insight or however you want to look at it of us hanging out? And the only reason I say this is not for people listening to be like, oh, this cocky bastard. Like it has nothing to do with that. Because I think there's, you know, I've had my own mentors, not that I'm like your mentor or something, but I've had my mentors come on the podcast before. And I've intentionally brought that question up myself and answered it because I knew the people listening needed to hear what, like how powerful it is to surround yourself with somebody who can bring the best out of you or who can motivate you or who is intimidating and maybe a little intense, but you know, they're a good person that wants you to grow. And I think there's a lot of people listening that maybe it's me. Maybe it's somebody else who is kind of intimidating, kind of intense. You really want to reach out. Maybe you want coaching from me. Maybe you want coaching from somebody on my team. Maybe there's somebody else out there that you follow that you want to reach out to and get help from and hire or whatever, but you're too scared because they are kind of intimidating and you get in your head and you're like, why would they want to work with me? Or like, I'm not their ideal client or whatever it may be. And I'd have you consider that you are their ideal client, because if you resonate with what they're saying and you want to create change and you trust that they can give it to you, you're the exact person they want to work with. And if you're not, then they're a piece of shit and they're not a really good coach. Plain and simple, because I've had that conversation with plenty of people. I'm like, you're literally the exact person I want to work with. Do you want to create change in your life? Yes. Okay. Are you willing to work? Yep. Okay. Enough said. You know what I mean? So what is the biggest and most powerful thing that you've taken away from our work together and the time we've spent so far? Because it's been, how long has it been now? A few months, maybe 2-3 months?
Yeah, almost 3 months.
So, yeah.
I feel like that. I don't want to take away from any situation that we've experienced together so far, but I would say that there's a lot of times, and I've never told you this, so telling you this on a podcast can be a little bit awkward, maybe, but there's times where I've been like at phone getting text messages from you at whatever hours of the day. Okay, I'll explain it like this. So you know that I wake up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym at 5. Mm-hmm. And I even explained to you today that I have to do that. Like, that's just how I have to operate to do exactly what I explained at the beginning of this podcast. So you have no problem texting me at 6 a.m. because you know I'm either putting into True Coach what my next set is or whatever, or you know I'm maybe hanging out in the sauna or whatever. And then last night I finally was like, dude, I got to go to bed because 4 a.m. is going to come quick, because it was like 10 o'clock and we're like still going over some stuff. And I used to, when we first started working together, that pissed me off more than anything in the world. I was like, this guy needs to fucking leave me alone.
He doesn't stop.
Yeah, he's always on. And then I thought, first off, I had to look at it through a different lens. I was like, okay, this is what I really appreciate you. And it took me a while to figure this out, is I could always look at you like you're always on. But then also when I'm here and I'm here till like 6 o'clock and you leave, you're like, yo, I got to go hang out with my little girl. Like, we got a daddy daughter date. Like, I got to run. I can't be late to this. And I'm like, okay, so he's shutting it down right now. But then he'll text me later at 7 o'clock. But then I think about this and I go, you have everything so methodically planned that you're on, you're off, you're on, you're off. And you're doing all these things that bring value to your life. And it's taken me a while to understand how I can do that. Because for me, it was like, no, today's like an at-home day where I get this done. Tomorrow's a work day and I'm going to work from this hour to this hour. And then I'm going to do this. And I had to shift my mindset, but I also had to kind of watch you from a 30,000 foot view for a while to figure this out, which is there's all this without sentences, this is longer than a minute, but all this, all this is basically, it's not selfish to care about yourself. Like you even said it in the last vlog, is like, I prioritize my health and my wellness. And that could look like this, this, and this, and this. But then you also prioritize your family life, and you also prioritize your relationship with God, and you prioritize your finances and et cetera, et cetera. And it goes on. Mm-hmm. And you work all this into a nucleus that coexists together. But it doesn't look traditional, but I don't want traditional. Like, there's a reason that I got out of my last job, because the normal lifestyle doesn't fit with who I am, and it definitely doesn't fit with who I am now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that fully answers your question, but the way that you're able to work all these different little puzzle pieces in your life, like those, you remember those old school, like move the tile around till you get the picture?
Yeah.
If life were that, you'd get that done so fast.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah. I think that it's the way I look at it is a lot of people talk about like, you got to be able to turn it off and on, and there's off on switch. And I agree. And like, some people struggle with like not being able to turn it off. And I think that really what it boils down to is kind of going back to that like worst case scenario thing. Right. So when I text you at 6 a.m, or this morning, it might've been like 5:30 or something, to be honest with you. So I wake up at 5 every day. I asked you to start working out with me in the afternoons, because I totally forgot you trained in the morning. Like, I literally totally forgot. So I wasn't like, you should change your training time. I literally was like, totally forgot to even mention that. So when I texted you, until I talked to you in the kitchen today, I was like, oh shit, I forgot that you train in the mornings. So I had no idea that you were at the gym. Okay. I literally was texting him like, he might be asleep. I have no idea. I don't care. I'm not texting you for a response right now. I'm texting you because I have a thought. I have an idea. I'm in this. This switch is on right now, and this is what I'm doing. And these are the people I gotta say things to. So one of the conversations I had with you originally, and it might've been after, I think it was after, you probably were already getting kind of frustrated by this. And I have it with my assistant when she started, was like, there's going to be a time where you think I don't stop, and you think that, and you get overwhelmed, because it's almost like I'm sending you like tasks and ideas and thoughts. And like, I'd never want you to be in a mode of like, oh shit, I got to get all this done right away. Half of what I tell you can get done whenever. 25% of it is just a thought or idea that'll never happen. The other 25% is going to be a priority, and I'll let you know when it's a priority. You know what I mean? Because to me, it's like, I want to express this and communicate and hear thoughts and, you know, but here's the deal. So if I texted you this morning, it was about a reel or a video or something like that, right? And let's say you didn't text me back for 4 or 5 hours. I'm alive. The business is running. Instagram's still cool. It's all good. It doesn't matter. You know, like, so when you can think of things like that, you're able to flip the switches. And I even do it with at home life, man. Like if there's something at home that's a stressor and I'm on the phone and I'm trying to figure it out, or I'm at home and I'm figuring it out, and then I walk in this door, forget about it. Is my wife and daughter alive? Yes. Are they in harm? No. Okay. I'll deal with it when it's time to turn that switch back on. If it needs to be turned on before I'm ready, my wife will call me twice in a row because that's how she gets through my favorites list. She knows, call me twice if it's an emergency, because you're the only one on my favorites list that's going to get through it. Everything else is on do not disturb. So like, you got to kind of be crazy, and you can't have too many switches either. Like I will say, like, my life is literally like family and then helping people through TCM. You know, that's literally all I do. Literally all I do. And like you said, I prioritize my health, God, and finances, like, for my own personal well-being. But anyway, it's cool to hear you say that, man. I think that's something I haven't put a lot of thought to be honest with you, because I can't look at it from your lens, but it's cool to hear, because I definitely can sit here and say, like, I've been working really hard over the last couple of years to systemize my life in a way that allows me to turn off and on without creating stress or chaos. And the amount of people that say, like, how do you do so much shit? A lot of times I'm like, I don't feel like I do that much. But it's because I'm happy and I'm fulfilled and I turn it off and on as needed, you know? So
automate, delegate, yeah. Eliminate.
That's it. Automate, delegate, eliminate. Figure out what you need to eliminate, figure out what you can delegate, and then see what you can automate. And the rest that's left is very important stuff that you need to prioritize. Plain and simple. So, all right, we're going to link his Instagram in the show notes. We're going to link our coaching in the show notes, since we got to talk about that. And this is kind of like an hour long testimonial in a way. But this was an unplanned episode. It was an honor to have you on the show, man. This is really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know people will like this because they love hearing from people that actually work with us. If you have any questions for Brandon about being a client, about working with me directly or anything like that, there's a link in the description of the podcast that lets you ask questions for Q&A. Throw them in there. It would be cool to see if you guys want to have him back on and us dive into some of the questions that you have. It's also way easier for me to do Q&As and stuff when I have somebody in front of me, especially somebody who's on their journey. So he's definitely going to be back on helping with this stuff. But just pop in there and do something with it. We've been putting out some YouTube videos together that have been really, really sick. I'm really excited about the series we're doing right now and how they're turning out. So go check that out. And last but not least, leave us a 5-star rating and review on Spotify and on iTunes. It takes you literally 5 seconds and it helps us more than you know. We appreciate you listening. We'll catch you next time.